are back once again, 326th time, and we just keep soldiering on. Parish of the Patriots, I'm glad you could join us this week. We're going to have an interesting discussion. I was on and off on having this discussion today because it's a hard discussion to have. And I'll get into that here as we get into it. I hope you get something out of the show. I know all of you, virtually all of you, are repeat members of the congregation. I appreciate that. If you are new, we do have a Christian-specific segment, a sermon, if you would. That'll be around the halfway mark of the show, and I'll let you know when we're getting into the preachy stuff in case you don't want to hear it. I suggest you give it a try. It probably won't be like what you would imagine, but I do. But it is there. If you're going to spurg out over it, you can turn off the show. I don't give a shit. Anyway, yeah, that'll be at the halfway part of the show. If you do get something out of the show, don't be shy. Pay those tithes, and we have one and only one way to do so. Snail mail. I know there's crypto addresses on the page on the Radio Albion website. Those were put up by Sven before he got sent away. I have no access to those. I don't want access to those. I can't get to any of that. I ain't going to get none of that. You're going to have to address an envelope. And I do. I appreciate it. Drop something in the mail. Just look on the description page for the show. For Parish of the Patriots. That's the only place you're going to find it. You ain't going to find it on the Daily Nationalist. I'm not spamming Radio Albion with where you can contribute. Look on the description page where I write up something about what the show's about to give you a general idea. And down at the bottom, you'll see their snail mail address. You can address an envelope. It ain't that hard. With that having been said, listener, supporter, mailbag, Tony, no note, but I did want to let you know it did come through just fine. I very much appreciate it. Lone Ranger for this week. I do. It is. It's very much appreciated. So, as we get into this week's discussion, like I say, I jotted this down earlier in the week because I was thinking about this. And, you know, I was like, yeah, well, I'm going to talk about this on the next show. And by the way, I'm recording this show. I usually record the show on the weekends. I'm actually recording this on the day. I'm recording this on Tuesday. And, you know, I'll jot things down prior. And I think maybe I'll talk about that. Maybe I jotted this topic down early on. And, you know, after a few days, I'll be like, man, I ain't even going to mess with that. You know, and then I think about it. Say, yeah, well, here I am, day of the recording of the show. And I've decided we are going to get into this. And it's a difficult topic to get into. And the reason it's difficult is we know that the media lies. We know that everything we say, they will do everything they can to twist it and turn it into saying, having us say something that we're not actually saying. Anybody else might not make sense, but I think for you, the audience, you know what I'm getting at. They will, it's not just that they will take things you say out of context. It's that they will intentionally parse your words and try to turn it into something, you know, meaning something that you didn't say. As a case in point, many years ago, you know, I made, back when I was on social media, I made a statement that basically said, you know, somebody going out and killing a bunch of random people doesn't accomplish anything. The media took that and twisted it into, so he's saying that you don't need to kill random people. You need to kill specific people. You see how evil he is. You know, with that in mind, it does, because they do this, and it does cause people to not discuss topics because you understand that they're constantly trying to twist what you say. However, I think today's topic is something that ought to be talked about. And again, you can't have this discussion without, to a certain extent, you're sticking your neck out there. Because given the opportunity, again, they'll twist everything out of context. And when they do that, normies are not going to go say, well, I don't really trust these media guys, even though yesterday they were telling everybody they could that that's the lying fake news that lies about Trump all the time. But if they lie about you or me, 99.999% of your normies are not going to say, I'm going to go listen to Radio Albion for myself and see if they're lying. They're not. They, the same people who, when it comes to Donald Trump, will say it's the fake news lying media. I won't believe anything they say. If they say it about you or me, they'll take them at their word. They won't go, and they have the opportunity to go and listen for themselves and decide. So it makes it hard. That hasn't been said. I think it's a discussion that should be had and is worth having. And this is this mantra, this notion that we have been taught. And that is that violence is not the answer when it comes to politics. You can see why this is a very dangerous, touchy discussion to have. I care about the truth, though, and I think it's worth discussing in the basis of truth. People will say that violence never has brought about any sort of real political change. Political change can be brought about by things such as peaceful protesting, which I have to chuckle about because whenever the left is protesting, it didn't even look real peaceful. We've seen this going on this past weekend. But for the rest of you, peaceful protest is the only thing that has ever brought about any political change. But is that true? And if not, what are the implications? I want to be very careful. Not because I'm trying to say something without actually saying it. I'm going to make that clear as we go through this discussion. I'm not trying to imply something without, you know, with having plausible deniability. He's trying to give himself wiggle room. He's going to tell people to go out and be violent. And yet he doesn't want to be held accountable for that. The media does that, by the way, and they don't ever seem to want any accountability for themselves. That's not what I'm doing at all. It's actually just the opposite. I'm not wanting to have my words twisted, so you're going to have to pay close attention because we're going to lay down some truths here. We're going to lay down some truths. Has any real political change ever came about from peaceful protesting? Let's just start with that, because it's a demonstrable fact that, to me, that the government doesn't give a shit if you protest. I mean, they don't care if you peacefully protest. You peacefully protest all day long, they don't care. I don't know of any instances where they changed policy or direction. You know, if they decide to take us into World War III and y'all go out, everybody goes out in the street and starts peacefully protesting, you think they're going to cancel the war plans? When the hell has that ever happened? You know, people have been peacefully protesting against the U.S. government's support for Israel while they genocide the Palestinians. And so far, I'm not really seeing the needle move much. So I think it's pretty demonstrably, you can pretty much look at this and the evidence that they really give a shit about your peaceful protesting is pretty thin. Now, a lot of people will point to the civil rights movement, Martin Luther King. That was a movement driven from the top down. That's why that worked. You know, that's why that worked. If you think of how what Germany does now, where the government in Germany, the government actually organizes protests against the people protesting the government. If you think of it kind of in that context, we know that the media works along with the government to create narratives, support what the government wants to do. So when you see that all happening, there's a certain amount of misdirection. In other words, if you look at that civil rights movement, if you didn't have narratives and stories created by the media, it would have been a nothing. It'd be a nothing burger. Who would Rosa Parks be? What, one black woman on a bus? And this is now some sort of historical national turning point? Why? Because the media said so. Had the media not told everybody that story, no one would give a shit about Rosa Parks and no damn bus. It's a fact. And again, I bring that up because that's what most people point to. Well, the civil rights and even the civil rights stuff wasn't all peaceful, mind you. Remember when the government sent troops in to point guns at people to force school integration. It wasn't exactly a peaceful thing. And isn't that funny? The government was supporting what the protesters were saying. You see the bait and switch. We come back to that difficult question. Violence and political change. The American colonists did not gain independence from Britain by peacefully protesting the king. Everything they did, from tossing tea overboard the ship to out and out rebellion, involved violence. Again, of course, there's many instances when you have major political changes in a country, you know, there's always a measure of violence involved. So groups with opposing ideologies will violently clash until one group gains dominance over the other. Now, where the media gets things conflated and will intentionally twist what we're saying, what you're saying when you try to have this discussion, is the implication that what you're saying by having this discussion with someone like me is saying, by having this honest discussion, is you're advocating people go out and do violent acts. And that's not the case. If you hear me out, that's not the case. And again, I'm not trying to do lawyer speak and say it without saying it so no one can actually hear me out. Real political change happens through history, and there's usually violence involved. The difference here, now, here's where we're going to get to the nuts and bolts of this. This is the money shot of this discussion. If you don't hear anything else, hear this. Where it is effective, where it has been effectively used in history, is it's funded and organized by basically a rising new elite. In other words, if you look at these, we'll use the American Revolution as an example here. You have these wealthy colonists here, because these guys weren't poor. They were landowners. They were well off. And at that time, the ruling elite was back in Britain. And at one point in time, you had these wealthy colonists, these landowners, and they're like, why are these guys running everything? They're over on the other side of the ocean. I mean, we could really be doing whatever the hell we want to. And instead, we're sending money to these people back in Britain. Why are these guys running the show? We can be running the show. And this new elite in these colonists started funding and organizing, from propaganda, you know, printing articles and passing them out, to actually funding, organizing, and setting up militias. You have a powerful rising new elite that is opposing the old elite, and they organize and fund and come together. And at some point, there's a clash. At some point, the old elite in Britain were like, yeah, no, you're not. And they sent their men with guns to force the Americans to do what they wanted them to do. Now, the Americans just been running around like chickens with their head cut off. That might not have worked. That might have worked. But you see, they ran into what? A well-organized militia. Because the elite here, the wealthy elite here, were organizing, setting up, plans, funding. So when the violent clash came, you had a battle for control. Does that make sense? What they didn't have was some rando going up and shooting up a damn supermarket, okay? That's stupid. In that context, and see, the media intentionally conflates those, and you're not allowed to talk about history. And that's why I say we're in the money shot of this discussion. The media tries to conflate that. When you talk about, when you look at through history and actual political change, usually does involve violence, because the old elite does not want to step aside for the new elite. that is wealthy and powerful and also wants, now they want to run the show. The old stodgy elite that have been running the show for generations, they feel like running the show is owed to them. And they're not going to give that up. And the new rising elite says, yeah, no, you guys are idiots. Why we do a lot better show about a lot better job of running this show. And there's the clash. The people, the foot soldiers, as it were, they're pawns on the chessboard. They're just pawns. This is a clash from elites who are organizing and funding. That's where political change comes into play. Some guy losing his mind and going out and shooting up a crowd of people or shooting somebody walking out of a theater or setting off a homemade pipe bomb in front of a government building. That's not political change. And that's not going to do anything. It really is not. I mean, because why? Because there's no rising elite behind it. It's just some asshole who can't stand the fact that he doesn't have control over the things in the world around him. Does that make sense? And I wanted to have this discussion. Again, I didn't want to have this discussion. Because again, given the opportunity, they'll twist what you're saying into being something you're not. If you look at historically speaking, political change is going to, there's going to be violence involved. The old elite is never just going to say, well, you younger guys, go ahead and have that if you think you can do a better job and willingly step aside. They're going to oppose it. And the new rising elite who are organizing, funding their side, arming their side, there's going to be a violent clash. And the winner of that violent clash will become the ruling elite. Does that make sense? That's how it works. And I think it's important to point out, because when people make a blanket statement like violence is never the answer to political change, which just sounds stupid. It does sound stupid. Like I say, the American colonists didn't peacefully protest to the King of England. He said, sure, y'all can be independent. I don't care. There's violence involved when there's a major political shift and the existing elite rulers are replaced by new elite and rulers. You're not it. No, seriously, because the media tries to conflate, you know, whether they're false flags or whether it's some real lunatic that goes out and starts shooting up people. They try to conflate the discussion here. You know, some guy taking his gun and shooting people. You're not an elite. That's not what elites do to enact political change. So that ain't you. You're just some nut job who's decided to take their feelings of frustration and inability to deal with reality to violently take that out on other people. And it's not going to change a damn thing. It's not. It's not. Point to when that has ever changed anything. It's not. You have a new rising, wealthy ruling elite that decides the old dinosaur ruling elite should be replaced by them. And they have the wealth, the power to organize, fund, and change things. That's what you have. And violence is going to be involved. It just is. You as an individual going out and doing violence to vent your political frustrations does not change anything. There's been plenty of instances of it. Some of, you know, over the years of that happening, individuals going out and being violent. Some of it real, some of it maybe not so much, but I don't want to get off in the weeds with that. But just taking it at face value, there's been plenty of instances. Where did it change anything? Where did it change anything? It didn't. Things roll on, doesn't it? And that's the reality, because there's no, it's just somebody venting their frustration and anger. If it's not organized, funded, and being set up by a rising, wealthy new elite that wants to replace the old elite, nothing's going to come of it. It's just some guy. In fact, if anything, it just gives them an excuse, the current ruling elite, an excuse to crack down that much harder on everybody. I think some of the lies, the narratives they give us, I think they intentionally want to trick people, probably people of lower mental ability or people of more intellectual instability into thinking that they themselves could do something, you know, violent and change the world. A good example of this, what I'm trying to say, if you look at the assassination of John F. Kennedy, and what's the official narrative? Well, Lee Harvey Oswald killed him. You know, Lee Harvey Oswald has gone down in history, you know, and for people that don't, you know, they're not all there mentally, they're mentally unstable. The idea of going down in history and you're somebody has appealed to them because people have lost all meaning in their lives. You can trace that back to people rebelling and turning against God, but we won't get into that right now. You have people who have no purpose, no meaning, no real meaning in their lives. They can't find anything meaningful in their lives. And they look and they say, wow, if I was the guy that went out and did this spectacular thing like Lee Harvey Oswald, then people for generations to come will remember who I am. In other words, the government's lie. Because, I mean, who the hell believes that? If you know anything about weapons, the idea that Lee Harvey Oswald pulled that shot off with that old crap rifle with open sights is a joke. And that's setting aside the fact that, you know, the back of Kennedy's head blew off when the shot would have been coming from behind. It doesn't matter. In other words, the point here is, in a lot of ways, I think their narratives like, oh, it was the lone gunman that did it. The lone gunman did it. And that kind of encourages people who are mentally unstable to think, well, if the lone gunman could do it and go down in history, then I can do something to go down in history. Now, don't think that the historical fact that old geriatric, you know, incumbent elites are replaced by a new rising elite. Don't think they don't know this. You see, strategies have been changed over, you know, many years. This is why when anybody starts kind of coming up and potentially, you know, if you really look, when people can start potentially coming up who could pose a potential opposition to the current ruling elite, they suck them in. They get them into the club. That's the answer. That's their answer to keep a new rising elite from opposing the existing one. When somebody starts coming up who potentially years down the road could start having the ability to oppose the current elite, they just bring them into the club. They welcome them into their ranks. That's why they have all these things like, you know, Bohemian Grove and the World Economic Forum. This is to make sure when you're coming up and you start becoming somebody and then you think you've hit the big time because you got an invite to this, they bring you into the club, not because they think you're great. They bring you into the club to make sure that you're never going to oppose the club. Does that make sense? They get you in the club so you're not opposing the club. They just make you into one of theirs. And when I say you, if you were somebody who was a new rising, potentially rising new elite that could oppose him. If you listen to the show, I'm not being insulting, but it's probably not you. It ain't me either. I don't have any delusions of grandeur, like, you know, I'm going to raise up a new political movement and overthrow the existing elite. I don't have the money. I don't have the wealth. I don't have the power to do anything like that. I'm essentially a nobody. And I'm comfortable with that. It doesn't bother me any. The point here is I'm a stickler for truth. I am. I'm a stickler for truth. And when people, I understand when people say violence is not the answer to political change. I understand what they're saying. You know, I get the meaning of what they're trying to say. And they're correct in that just people going out and being violent, you know, is going to affect political change. Now, like I say, with these these riots about immigration. This is staged. This is different. That's why the media is not being hysterical about the violent protests, you know. It's why they kept trying to say the BLM protests were mostly peaceful with buildings burning in the background, because they're trying to set a narrative. But when people, you know, in good faith and say, you know, violence is not the answer, they're correct, because just going out and being violent doesn't accomplish anything. And usually 99.9% of the time, it actually makes the situation worse, because it gives the existing ruling elite political leverage. It gives them a moral excuse. Look at what Israel's doing to the Palestinians. They used the October 7th attacks as their moral excuse to do what they're doing. Now, they've gone so overboard that and nobody's buying that anymore. But that's a topic for another day. We'll get into that. It does not change anything. However, as a stickler for truth, historically speaking, real political change is going to involve violence. Is going to involve violence when a new rising elite can fund, organize, they can put out their own media campaigns. You know, in other words, there's going to be wealth and power backing up the new rising political opposition. Okay? Not some guy that's mad at the world and he can't get a girlfriend, so he's just going to go to shoot everybody at a bar. That's not political change. There's no ruling, rising elite backing that. That's just you mad at your life and unable to get your shit together. That's not anybody else's problem but yours and the people who are unfortunate to get stuck in a room with your crazy ass. But again, just on the basis of truth, real political change, when it involves a new rising elite that has wealth, influence, and power, is going to involve violence. I mean, it is. Because the old elite isn't, like I say, they're not going to willingly surrender their position to these new upstarts. But that's, again, we've already covered it, but I want to reemphasize it. Why don't we see that now? As I said before, because now they realize this as well. So what they do is, when anybody starts coming up that could potentially pose a threat to the existing elite, they just welcome them into the club. They make sure they're in the club and join them. They're not going to oppose them if they're part of it. And that's why you don't see anything. You know, it's all about making sense of these things we see around us. When I read an article and somebody well-meaning, you know, but I can go and read any article. I could go probably find more than a dozen today if I wanted to, you know, commentary. And people will say, you know, the American people, you know, it's our fault. The American people we need to make sure we keep putting up with this. We need to make the government do this. We need to make them think. You don't have any way to do that. You know, you don't. You can't tell people it's your fault that the country is a complete shit show because you've allowed the government to do this. You have no way to make the government not do what they do. You don't. You don't. You literally don't. And when people write these articles saying it's American people's fault because they put up with this, the American people have no way to stop it. What are you going to do? Vote more? They've tried that. They continue to try that. You know, how's MAGA working out so far? And again, I think this is important to point out because this builds frustration in people. When you tell people it's your fault the country's a mess because you've allowed this to happen, people that aren't able to sit back unemotionally and separate these things, fact from fiction, truth from lies, well, they don't want it to be their fault. They're being blamed. And they'll come up with some sort of, you know, you're going to have a certain segment of people that the only thing they can come up with then is, I better get my gun and go do something about it then. And that's not going to be the answer. It's not. Again, we've had plenty of instances of people doing that. And what has changed there? What has changed for the better? Did they ever say, well, this guy went and shot up some people at a bar. We better change our policy. No, of course not. Come on. Don't pay any attention when somebody writes an article saying this is your fault. It's your fault because you've allowed, the American people have allowed this to happen. What are they supposed to do to stop it? Well, they should organize. Who's going to organize them? People don't organically just organize. Who's going to organize them? That's going to take money. It's going to take somebody that's got enough power and influence to where the current elite can't just squash them. They've got to be able to protect themselves. It's got to involve somebody that has the ability to do that. And it ain't you. It ain't me. It ain't just the people. The people need to just stand up and tell the government they can't do that anymore. What? What the hell do you want the people to do? You know? This, too, I think feeds into mentally unstable people doing mentally unstable things. When you sit there and blame them, it's your fault. You're victim blaming. The American people don't have, look, the American people have no way to change government policy. I'll say it. You don't. Keep going and doing the ritual of voting and adding legitimacy to this system. Let me know how that works out for you. You don't. If voting doesn't change it, then what does? I mean, what exactly are the American people supposed to do to change this system? And I'm going to tell you, ain't a damn thing you can do. The good news is it's headed towards collapse. And in this, you know, in this, you have the potential. This empire is crumbling. The system is headed towards collapse. They see this. That's why they're kind of acting in a panicky manner. And when that happens, you have the potential. Nobody knows how these things play out, but you have the potential then for a new elite to finally step up. Somebody that's got some wealth and some power and some ability to organize and oppose the elite that has caused the collapse. Because when the collapse comes around, the existing elite is going to lose a chunk of their power and influence. And that opens the door. There's not going to be a vacuum. That opens the door for an upcoming elite, a new elite, to step up and say, we can do better than these assholes, and step in and fill the vacuum. This is, in other words, what I'm saying here is, look, this isn't going to just keep going on forever like it is. This is unsustainable. There will be an opportunity for a new elite to step forward. They might make a mess of things too. I don't know. Hard to imagine them doing a worse job than what we've got now. Anyway, I just thought it bears pointing out the truth. So when somebody says violence is not the answer to political change, the correct context, understanding the correct context of that statement, and as a passing, just an example of what I mean. I reference these violent protests that are in Los Angeles and spreading through the country. And they admit they're organized. This is why it's a top-down thing. Because the government has no curiosity whatsoever when it comes to who's organizing the protests. They have no curiosity at all. Somebody's organizing. This is scripted in a sense. This is organized and scripted. This is a top-down thing. What you're not seeing is this is not a rising new ruling elite opposing the old. This is just theater. Anyway, I think it's important to understand the context so that when you hear statements like, well, violence is not the answer to political change, what that means. Because that is a true statement. It is not the answer. Now, if you have a new, wealthy, powerful, rising elite that is opposing the old existing elite, you're going to wind up being violence involved. But it's not going to be just random people out in the street burning cars or some shit. That's not. Anyway, hopefully we've got some clarity, with that. And again, I think the only reason I chose to go ahead and discuss this is because I'm a stickler for the truth. for that words have meaning and context matters. You know, so if you, anyway, I think maybe we've had a good discussion. Maybe that makes sense. Let's get in. We got the Christian specific segment to get into. We got to keep this show. The show's got to go on. We got to keep this show rolling. So you know what to do. Get in there, fill those pews. Let's get into this week's sermon at the Parish of the Patriots. Now, if you hadn't caught my show I did yesterday, Daily Nationalist for Monday, I suggest you check it out. I think it was a pretty good show. And the reason I bring that up is the topic I covered on yesterday's show was in regards to a lot of these happenings right now and how these things are organized and they're intended as a distraction, as funneling people's energy, people's anger into directions they want it to go. I bring that up now because I had originally intended to do that topic on today's show, but when I went through my Daily Mail subjects for yesterday's show, that was in a lot, you know, that was a lot of news. So I went ahead and did it yesterday. I'm just going to do kind of a very, very brief, because again, I did that yesterday, so we're not going to rehash it today. But basically, as two examples of how they do this, you know, the more left-leaning people, their protest against Israel's genocide against the Palestinians was getting a little too much traction. And then all at once, what do we get? ICE protests. And in this morning's news, it was, these protests are now spreading. They had some protests over in Dallas. The news people claiming there were hundreds of people out there, only the helicopter shot looks like maybe at most 100 people milling about. They even admitted these are organized by advocacy groups, and we all know what that means. The point being, and again, I don't want to get off in the woods on the subject. I could go on and on, but I went on and on yesterday. As the left's protest and anger among the rank and file about Israel's actions against the Palestinians, that was starting to get a little too much traction. So all of a sudden, this is generated to funnel that energy, to funnel that anger into somewhere they don't care if it goes. Orange Man, but we're back to Orange Man Bad. And it funnels over there and it sucks the energy away from discussions about things such as Israel's policies towards the Palestinians. As a counterexample for the other more conservative side of the political spectrum, I hope y'all have heard about this story about Palantir. I don't know how you pronounce it. It's Palantir or Palantir, but and this whole thing where Trump, they're going to set up like basically AI in these huge fusion centers, AI creating profiles of every single American for potential. You haven't even committed a crime yet. It's like pre-crime screening. And with the things being talked about out of the Trump administration, it's not hard to figure that anti-Semitism, quote unquote, is going to factor very heavily into this program. And you had a lot of people pointing at this and going, wait a minute, how is this making America great again? We don't want this. We don't support this. And as there were grumblings maybe starting to form there, what did we get? We get this high school mean girl Twitter spat between him and Elon Musk. Again, it funnels all that. Who do you gotta back? Now, as I said, I intended to get into that on today's show and then kind of move into the Christian-specific segment from that. But we're just, it's okay. It's not going to, it's not going to mess up our plans. All these things we see that happen. At the end of the day, what do we do about it? Or more specifically, as Christian believers, what do we do? So much confusion, so much chaos is sown, and we have to ask ourselves, you can't look at these things and not, you know, I don't know, on some level, you're going to find something in the news to upset you. So what is our role as believers? We have to see things for what they are. We seek, remember, we always come back to seeking truth. It may become tempting to say, what does it matter? Because you as an individual person or me, myself, we can't change it. People get mad. I don't know how many times people have gotten upset and angry when you point that out. Oh, you're just giving up. You're just throwing your hands up. You're just letting them do whatever they want to. I'm speaking reality. You can't change it. You just can't. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, for starters, it does matter because the truth in and of itself, simply by existing, it matters. Simply by acknowledging the truth. These things, they do these things. They are warring for your mind, for your spiritual mind. This is a war to get control of your spiritual mind. And when you reject their lies, when you reject their falsehoods, and you hold to truth, you may not be leading a protest. You may not be, organizing some form of armed resistance, which I could virtually guarantee you within a week would be 80% federal agents. But you are fighting back in the war. Again, look, non-believers aren't going to get this. Don't expect them to. Don't try to explain this to them. You're wasting your time. What they're doing with their bombardment of lies is trying to gain a foothold, gain control of your mind. This is why the truth, one of many reasons why the truth holds value in and of itself. And as you reject their lies and say, no, I'm going, this is what the truth of the matter is. This is why I still wind up talking about these things. Although, honestly, as far as politics goes, I find it exasperating. I was having a visit with Sven the other day and I'm like, I don't care about politics. At this point, I still keep up with it because I understand it's a war for control of your mind and the truth matters. But as far as acting as though any of this politics crap means anything, as if, you know, there's going to be some sort of sudden political shift and, you know, Donald Trump's going to make America great again. It's exasperating. Acting like voting is real. It's exasperating. All of these things are a fight for the control of your mind. Now, that's not to say that suddenly they take control of what you're thinking. It's about emotionally manipulating you. You ever know people, and I'm sure you do, who when it comes to this political stuff, and usually it's people that are kind of new to it. You know what I'm saying? They're kind of new to it. They haven't really followed politics. And then maybe a little later in life or whatever, for whatever reason, they've decided to start paying attention to politics. Now, you and I, we've been following, keeping up with political truths for a long time. This is old hat for us. But these noobs, they come in. What do? They will come at you. And I mean, they're like emotionally almost unhinged. I mean, just emotionally, they're so upset. They're so angry. They keep lying to us. Oh my gosh. It's hard not to laugh. It is. It's hard not to laugh when one of these people comes to you, and bless their hearts, you know, they mean well, and you always have to remind yourself you mean well. But when one of these people comes to you and they're like, oh my gosh, you're not going to believe this. Okay. What am I not going to believe? Because you already know. It's probably going to be something you've known for the last however many years. You're not going to believe this. It'll be something along the lines of the media lies to us. Oh my gosh, who could have guessed? You're telling me the media lies? Yeah. And they're all emotionally caught up in this. My point being, see, that's what they want. If they can control your energy in the direction your energy is flowing, it's just like what I was opening, talking about these distractions, funneling your energy. You know, it is written in the Bible, it's good to be zealous, but beware of those who want to funnel your zealousy towards their own ends. They want to channel that. It is an attack. It is an attempt to control your mind. If they can get you emotionally whipped up over something that you have zero control over, then you're spinning your wheels. You're not gaining anything. You see what I'm saying? What energy you're spending being outraged over the latest bullshit you saw on Fox News or the bullshit you saw on CNN or whatever. You only have so much energy in a day and you're just blowing that energy out over here. As I said, it's no different. It's on a different scale, but it's the same more or less playbook as when they funnel people from being protesting and angry over Israel's treatment of the Palestinians to now they're in the streets waving Mexican flags for the cameras and setting Teslas on fire. They channel that. Again, they channel your jealousy towards something that doesn't matter. Waste your time. As believers, we ought to come, we have to always come back to, okay, I know the truth here. What do I do? What is my role here? And it's, I guarantee you, when you do that long enough, you walk in your faith long enough, you come back to follow God's will in your life. The overall plan. Why Jesus Christ came and did what he did for us to fulfill God's intention in creating man in the first place. To walk in this world, to spiritually mature, to work through the process, to spiritually grow so that we're ready for the kingdom of God. You're always going to come back to that. If you get side quests from the Lord, that's great. If you get certain things you do along the way as part of that, yes. But that overall, again, don't ever let anyone tell you, I have no idea what God's will is for my life. I can tell you God's will for your life. It's the plan, the overarching plan since he way back when he created Adam. So that man could mature, spiritually mature, and get ready to take part in the work of the kingdom of God. And you're always going to come back to that. This other stuff, these distractions, as we're hand waving and yelling, it's about getting you off task. It's like you're having to concentrate and get something done, and you have idiots in the background screaming at you, and you're sitting there trying to get your work done. I have a certain amount, I guess, sympathy and pity for non-believers. I really do. They're in the midst of a spiritual war, and they don't even know it. Imagine being dropped off into a trench somewhere in a war zone, and you don't even know there's a war. You're like, boy, fireworks are crazy in this place. What are y'all celebrating? None of this, I've said this countless times to the point y'all sick of hearing it, but none of this that you've seen, the going-ons in this world, are ever going to make any sense to you unless you understand the context of it being a part of a larger ongoing spiritual conflict. When you understand that, when you really wrap your mind around that, the rest of it makes sense. Otherwise, you keep going around, you know, looking at this individual happening, this isolated, and this the latest thing to be outraged, and this and that. No, my God. It's never going to make sense until you understand this is all part of a ongoing spiritual conflict. And it's obvious. This is the other thing that gets me. It's obvious. You ever see, and they do a good job, but if you ever see them get onto the topic of Jesus Christ and you watch the vehement hatred that they have, if they don't think anybody's really going to pay attention, you know, maybe the story's being published in circles they figure that believers won't see or something. If you see them, they will go off on the most vile, hate-filled, blasphemous rant when it comes to Jesus Christ. They don't do that about Buddha. They don't do that about Muhammad, but they will. One of the most public displays, and I'm sure you've all seen it, is Ben Shapiro was doing years ago, a couple years ago, he was doing one of his little, you know, his little shtick where he goes to these college campuses to own these idiot young liberals, you know. But he was doing like question and answers. So there were, you know, people more sympathetic to him in the audience as well. And this young man stood up and asked him a question about Jesus Christ being the Son of God. And what's telling to me about that incident is not what he said, because but the look, if you watch his facial expression, I mean, it is as though he's literally biting his tongue. You can tell he didn't give the answer that he wanted to give. You can tell that. He didn't give the answer. And I said he was doing it at one of these colleges where he does that. And that may not be right. It might have been at a conference. It's been a couple years ago. That doesn't matter. Y'all are, I'm sure, familiar with it. This young man, and he asked him a question about Jesus Christ being the Son of God and how Jews view that and how he views it or whatever. And you can see, you can see him choking back the words he wants to say. And they're not going to be kind words. Yeah, even what he did say offended a lot of people. Something like he was a Jew revolutionary who basically got what was coming to him or something along that lines. But if you look at his facial expression, you can tell the reaction. It took everything he could to bite back what he wanted to say. Had he not done that, I can almost guarantee you would have had a line of just breathtaking, vile blasphemy vomit out. Their hatred of Jesus Christ is palpable. It's out in the open. This is a spiritual war. People going around acting like this is something else. This is about control of this or influence in that. I mean, those may be tactical issues, but the big picture is spiritual warfare. And again, it's out in the open. I had a note here. Because you ever notice these people, and they would have you believe they're godless people. You know, they're just non-believers. Now, I'm not talking about your run-of-the-mill non-believer. I'm talking about these people in positions of influence and power. You know, people say, oh, well, they're just godless. You know, they're just non-believers. But have you ever noticed their obsession with satanic imagery? You know, you ever notice that? I'm thinking of that whole crazy bitch doing that. What was they call it? Spirit cooking. Oh, you're supposed to just dismiss that. That's just an artist being eccentric. But if it was just an artist being eccentric, well, once in a while, they would be eccentric towards something beautiful, wouldn't they? You know? Wait, how come all of their eccentric artistry always looks like some kind of satanic ritual playing out? How come their art is always things, oh, what's this picture in your background? Oh, it's an artist's rendition of children being hung up like in a meat locker and gutted. They never have an eccentric artist creation of something beautiful. It's just my eccentric creation of the sun rising on a glorious and beautiful new day for mankind. No, it's my depiction of this woman's guts are open and everyone's eating out of her abdomen. They're all feeding themselves. They're all eating out of her guts. You see, it's just art. A lot of that imagery come up around that whole Pizzagate thing, when you remember that. Something else they memory hold really fast. Because you see, with all their lies and all of their misleadings and all of their deception, once in a while, some truth slips through the cracks, and then they have to run around and do damage control. You ever notice the questions they never answered about that? Like, how come this pizza parlor owner is one of, like, the number four or whatever, one of the most influential people in Washington, D.C.? He owns a pizza parlor. But has all this influence. Why is that? They never answered that question, did they? Like the Podesta emails. They poo-pooed it, called it Russian disinformation. They called it this, they called it that. They hand-waved, they muddied the water. Makes you curious why the media was brought into play so fervently if they had any sort of independence. But they never did tell us what were those about. It's not about satanic rituals on children involving probably sex, murder, and torture. No, it's not about that at all. They just really love Italian food. They never answer the question because they can't. The EU headquarters, excuse me, I get rolling here and then my voice will make that. The EU headquarters, it's designed to look like an artist's rendition. The architecture designed to look like the Tower of Babel. It literally is. It's out in the open. You are in spiritual warfare. And like I say, you know this. But it's just breathtaking to me that non-believers somehow don't get it. Why would you design your EU headquarters to look like the Tower of Babel? Why, I mean, what would be the motivation? It comes back to, oh, well, that was just the architect's artistic flair for it. Never for anything beautiful. No, it was designed to look like a rebellion and to represent a rebellion against God. It's out in the open. The spiritual warfare, their rebellion, it's playing out in the open for everybody to see. You can't miss it. Again, if it was just, oh, well, that's just their random, that's their artistic inclination. But it's never inclined towards anything beautiful. It's never inclined towards anything true. It's always towards the satanic. It's always represents rebellion against God. Always. Why is that? Why do you think that is? We come back. We have to circle back. Because these things are an assault, an attempt to manipulate and control your mind. If somebody can goad an internal reaction and upset your reasoning, your mental stability, then you've given them control. Does that make sense? If you let somebody emotionally manipulate you, you've given them, you've surrendered to them a certain amount of control. If you're having a disagreement with somebody, you know, your wife or somebody at work, whatever. If you're having a disagreement with somebody, the minute you start yelling, you've lost that confrontation. Even if they shut up and don't say another word to you, you can tell yourself that you won, but if you lose control to the point you have to start yelling and screaming, you've lost. You've lost the debate. It's the same, kind of along the same things. If they can emotionally manipulate you, that's a form of victory because, it funnels your jealousy. It funnels your energy, your limited amount of energy into something that doesn't matter. Do you think any of these people care that you personally are outraged over people waving Mexican flags in front of burning cars? No, that's what they want you to do. They want you fun. They don't care if you're angry. They just want you angry over the correct things. By the way, we've got a thunderstorm rolling. This has been a stormy spring for us. I've got thunderstorms rolling in as I record this, and every time it thunders, one of my dogs has to start barking. So there's not much I can do about that because it's going to keep thundering. So bear with me on that. Bear with me on this lack of professionalism. Anytime you let yourself get off kilter, look, it's fine to have righteous anger, to see things that are evil and wicked, point them out, but don't. You have to keep it in perspective and you come back to, what do I need to do? Oh, I need to be continuing to grow in the Lord. You see, if you're not distracting your energy on something meaningless that you can't affect anyway, and you reel that back in and funnel your energy into understanding God, spiritually maturing, growing. And yes, this has advantages in this world too, because you're not going to be going along with this herd of lemmings that just runs over here and then runs over there and then is doing this and doing that and acting like a bunch of livestock. And that's another thing. We'll wrap up with this. That's what you are in their eyes. You are livestock. Our entire existence here is to generate wealth for somebody else and then die before you start costing money. I laugh whenever somebody talks about, you know, we need to cure cancer. They need to come up with a cure for cancer. they're making billions of dollars a year treating cancer. But yeah, they're totally going to take that money away from themselves so that you don't get a tumor. Sure, that's absolutely going to happen. Cure for cancer is easy. For starters, they could quit poisoning our food. Everything you buy has got more chemicals in it than an inventory list in a lab somewhere. Wonder why everybody's getting cancer. You generate wealth. And then the idea, you spend your life generating wealth for somebody else. And then when you get old enough that maybe instead of making money for the system, you're going to start costing the system money, then they want you to die because you're no good to them anymore. You're not profitable any longer. So then you need to die off. When you realize that in their eyes, you're livestock. You're just livestock meant to generate wealth. When you realize that and you hold on to the truth in the Lord, you won't be herded. You see, there's a big difference between cattle and deer. You know, deer just run and jump the fence. You can't herd a deer. You won't be herded. But people, you see the people and you see these people being herded over here and herded over there. Here's the latest thing to be outraged about. Here's the latest lie to buy into. You come back to the truth of God, and it's about getting you off of that mission, because Jesus Christ accomplished for us to be able to fulfill the will of God, to spiritually mature, work through all of these things over the amount of time we're allotted in this world. And it's a limited amount of time. Every minute they can get you to waste off task is they've robbed you of that. They're always going to try to get you off your task. We're supposed to be spiritually maturing and growing and coming to know the Lord before the time or before the clock runs out. They're trying to get you off task. You always have to come back. It's fine. Look, I'm not telling you that you're going to see, not going to see things that upset you. You see things and you have righteous anger. That's fine. But you then have to reel that back in and say, what do I need to do? Well, I need to get back on task. Growing spiritually, growing in the Lord. There's time to tempt you. If you think of temptation, if you think of it as messing with you, okay, instead of temptation, when I say temptation here, think of this as messing with you. The amount of time that they can mess with you is limited. This makes them angry, by the way, too. It's one of the reasons they have such a vile hatred for Jesus Christ. Because the amount of time they have to mess with you is limited. When you leave this world and enter, they got nothing. So I has written, don't be afraid of those who, at the end of the day, they can kill you. But after that, they lose all power over you. That's it. Now they can't mess with you anymore. You know, their time to mess with you is limited. And your time to grow and spiritually mature is also limited. So they do everything they can to get you off task. They do everything they can to try to convince you that you're wasting your time and it doesn't matter anyway. But their time, at the end of the day, their amount of time they can mess with you is limited. And your amount of time to come and grow and understand the Lord in fulfillment of His will for mankind is also limited. You understand these truths and you stay on task. You know? And in this, you take away any control they're seeking to have over you. This isn't about standing back and you just throw up your hands and let them do whatever. No, it's understanding what it is they're trying to do. You know what I'm saying? It's not, I have to say that again because I think people misinterpret it. When you say these things as a believer and people say, well, you're just saying throw up your hands and just give up. No, it's the opposite. It's understanding what they're trying to do and resisting it. I'm telling you, they're trying to get you off task. Understand, see it for what it is, and don't let them succeed. Resist them. It was written, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. This is, and again, none of this will make any sense. We got to wrap up, but none of this will make any sense unless you understand this, what is going on in the world around you in the context of an ongoing spiritual battle. We will wrap up on that note. I hope you got something out of today's discussion. I do appreciate you stopping by. I hope you enjoy the rest of your week. And of course, I hope to see you here next week for the Parish of the Patriots.